So the today's scripture reading is from the book of John, chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. Jesus prays for his disciples. After Jesus had spoken these words, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me, I have given to them. And they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me so that they may be one as we are one." This is the word of God.
Let us pray together. Merciful God, indeed, in the powerful name, the beautiful name of Jesus, we approach you this morning. I know, God, that you brought us here for a purpose. Maybe we don't know what that purpose is, but you do. And for whatever reason we find ourselves here, I know that your Spirit is the one who brought us here. So may your Spirit also open our hearts to receive your message. May you speak to us now. May we be transformed by your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to think back to mid-2021, because the world was in a strange and tentative place. After a year of living through glowing screens during the pandemic, the great return began. And major corporations started to push to get employees back to the office. Elon Musk famously told his staffers to show up for 40 hours a week or find a new job. I don't know if you can remember that. Tim Cook at Apple sent out a memo requiring attendance on Tuesdays and Thursdays to preserve in-person collaboration. But not everyone was ready to trade their comfortable pajamas for a commute. Ian Goodfellow, Apple's director of machine learning, promptly resigned. He had tasted a new kind of freedom, being in the work, but not of the office. And the pandemic, you know, taught us that presence can be real even when bodies are apart, right? And I think this modern paradox, this idea of being absent yet present, remote yet real, gives us a fresh lens through which to view our scripture passage for today. Because in John 17, Jesus is standing in the shadow of the cross. It's the night before his death, the space between the Last Supper table and Calvary, between the world Jesus loves and the glory to which he's about to return. Remember, today is Ascension Sunday. So he looks to heaven and he prays to the Father, and he says in verse 11, "And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world." Jesus is preparing his disciples for the ultimate remote work assignment. He's preparing them for a new kind of presence. He's leaving their sight, but he's not leaving their lives. And he's handing over the heavy lifting of the kingdom to them. He says, "Father, I'm coming to you, and I will not stay in the world any longer, but they are still in the world." So how do we live faithfully when the boss has left the building? The first thing we learn is that the work continues. When Jesus begins this prayer, he doesn't call the coming crucifixion a tragedy or an escape. He calls it glory. It says he looked up toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come for you to bring glory to your Son in order that he may bring glory to you." And in John's gospel, glory isn't divine fireworks or anything like that. Excuse me. It's divine love at full throttle. Because on the cross, what looks like defeat is actually a stunning victory. As the theologian Gustav Holand put it, the cross became the radiant disclosure of who Jesus was, a self-giving Savior with love for the world. And so the first truth of living still in the world is that the work continues because the relationship continues. Jesus defines eternal life not as endless time, but as knowing the Father. And this is eternal life, he said, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So we aren't orphaned employees left to invent our own mission. We carry the same authority and the same relationship Jesus had. And when the headlines darken or the road gets steeper, remember, the work of the kingdom isn't ours to invent, okay? It's his to continue through us. What we see next in this passage is the gift of belonging. Before the disciples are told to do anything, Jesus highlights that they belong. He says, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me. They were yours, and you gave them to me." And this is a vital correction for our anxious age, because we often think of faith, you know, as freelance work. Each believer hustling for results or managing spiritual metrics. But Jesus says our identity precedes our activity. We belong before we perform. I want you to think about Gen Z for a moment. Any Generation Z people among us? That's a really sad statement. But I want you to think of Gen Z for a moment. So despite being digital natives, data shows that they are actually the generation most likely to want to return to the office. And you know why? Because of loneliness. They value the in-office time for connection, for belonging. But they're also great boundary setters, okay? They strive for a work-life balance. They log off at 5 p.m., not 5 or 1 p.m. They aren't going to check work emails over the weekend. They see work as a means to an end rather than the central component of their identity. But the point is, belonging is a primal need. And belonging for the Christian is the soil where obedience grows. Belonging is what allows us to live in the world without being of it. So when you know to whom you belong, you don't have to chase every identity the world offers. You can be in the world, engaging in its work, enjoying its beauty, without letting the power and influence of culture define you. You're a gift from the Father to the Son. And the fact that you belong roots you in the center of the heart of God. As Jesus' prayer intensifies, he asks for two things, protection and unity. And he prays, Holy Father, protect them in your name that you've given me, so that they may be one as we are one. He asks the Father to protect them in his name. And so in a world where we use handguns and vaccines to feel safe, Jesus' prayer is deeper. He isn't asking God to bubble wrap our lives. He's asking that we be protected by courage when fear crowds in, and by truth in a world of lies. I think you'll all agree that in our postmodern world, truth often feels like a judgment call in baseball. You know, it just depends on who's calling the game. And so Jesus prays for something deeper, not protection from the truth, but protection by the truth. And he promises the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to anchor us when everything else wobbles. And he also prays for unity, that they may be one, Father, as we are one. And this isn't uniformity, okay? Like we all need to have the same opinion and same culture. He prays for unity. And unity is the shared life of those who are kept in the same name. The life of a father and son extended into a community of forgiving people, forgiven people. Unity is the miracle of people whose differences do not dissolve their love. And I think in an era of toxic polarization, this is radical. So to be kept in the name means allowing God's character to shape the way we speak and the way we post and decide and pray. And by the way, the credibility of our message depends on our ability to share grace across divides. When we listen together to Christ, we find ourselves, despite everything, speaking the same language of grace. And finally, I think what we see in this text for today is the paradox of presence. You know, Tim Cook told Apple employees that despite the success of remote work, something essential was missing. You know what that is? Each other. Jesus says, I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And this is the paradox that defines our experience as Christians. Jesus' bodily absence becomes the condition for his spiritual presence, right? He leaves so that the Spirit can be everywhere his disciples go. So in a real sense, we are called to a holy hybrid life. We're present in the world, but we are rooted in heaven. We find ourselves in classrooms and kitchens and council meetings, not as tourists or escape artists, but as residents of another kingdom whose presence transforms the neighborhood. We live within the culture, but we're answering to a different authority. And so when we are generous in a stingy world, and when we are truthful in a manipulative world, and when we are reconciling in a divided world, do you know what we're doing? We're giving the world a glimpse of the unseen Christ. When Ian Goodfellow left Apple, he joined a team that thrived on what is called distributed collaboration. He found a new rhythm. Connected, though distant. Engaged, though unseen. And he said the key wasn't physical presence, it was trust. And we too are a distributed network of believers, still in the world, sustained by trust in the one who prays for us. Jesus hasn't left the work. He simply moved it into your hands. He doesn't remove us from the world's complexity. He sends us into it with new resources, including the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, we have faith to withstand the dark. And we have the Word to nourish us. We have belonging to keep us from being scattered. We have courage that outlasts fear. And we have unity, a love strong enough to hold us together in spite of differences. And so this week, wherever you find yourself, at the office, or the checkout line, or the kitchen sink, practice presence over performance. Listen more than you speak. And when the noise gets too loud, remember the prayer Jesus is still praying for you. Holy Father, protect them. Protect them. The work is in good hands. It's in yours. Amen.
Amen.
Lord our God, on this Ascension Sunday, thank you for making us realize that Jesus said to leave us so that your Spirit can be present always and everywhere. May your Spirit indeed protect us. May your Spirit enable us to be one, to be united. Thank you for the fact that we're in the world and we can enjoy this world with all it has to offer. But we don't belong in the world. We belong to you. May your Spirit enable us to be present and yet know that we belong somewhere else. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.